What's up, what's up, what's up? How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody good? Thank you for braving the rain and getting to church this morning. I hope God's got a word for you. Hey, can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? Glad you're watching. Praying God speaks to you today. Hey, before I dive into the message, I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you've never been baptized or you need to get your baptism in order, listen, we are swapping our baptisms from Wednesdays back to Sundays, okay? So we're going to be baptizing next week, and I'm really looking forward to it. And so if you're here today and you haven't gotten your baptism in order, we would love to baptize you next week, okay? So you could go to the info bar in the back, or you could go online to desperationchurch.tv. You could sign up there. You can let us help you sign up in the back. Or you could take the connection card you have in your chair, fill that thing out, drop it in the baskets whenever you leave, and somebody will contact you and tell you all the things you need to bring. Listen, we really believe that baptism is your next step of obedience in the area of salvation, okay? And so if you haven't got that in order, man, why don't you do that next week? Let us do that for you next week, and really looking forward to that, all right? Hey, listen, I'm hoping that you're enjoying this series. I believe this is our third week in What to Do When, and I'm hoping that God spoke to you, giving you some new perspectives on some things. And today, we're going to talk about something that you might have heard a lot of different ways, but we're probably going to give this message to you a little different ways than what you've heard before. Today, we're going to talk about what to do when you're living in the last days. What to do when you're living in the last days. Now, I believe that all of us, if you've been in church any amount of time, and if you have not been in church at all, then this is probably your first time to hear something like this. But if you've been in church any amount of time, you've probably heard messages on the end times. You've heard messages on the last days. Today, I'm hoping to give you a little bit different perspective. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but tomorrow, April the 23rd, it has been predicted that Jesus is coming back. Has anybody heard that yet? All right? Seriously, it's all over the news. All right? Who's heard it? Look, okay, all the old people that watch the news. All right? Apparently, we're the only ones that's heard it. So I'm old because I heard it, and I'm like, oh, dear Lord Jesus, here's another one. All right? It's amazing how many people are predicting. Now, literally, seriously, they're saying that because the planets are lining up, and then there's this planet that even scientists don't even believe is there. It's kind of a theory that this planet named Planet X is going to be lining up with the rest of the planets, and when it happens, Jesus is going to return. Can I just go ahead and tell you my opinion, my thought process, that when anybody comes out and gives you a specific date when Jesus is coming back, you can just go ahead and bank on it. Eat your butter beans, because Jesus ain't coming back that day, all right? More than likely, that's not the day he's coming back. We'll find out more here in just a little bit why I believe that, okay? Listen, my whole entire life, I have heard people talk about the end times. It's a hot topic in church world today. If I was to tell you guys that, hey, listen, in May, we've got an expert in the sign of the times, and that's all he studies, and he's going to come, and he's going to, for the next month, going to be giving us all these messages about the end times and the signs of the times. Man, it would probably be standing room only in this place, because it's absolutely amazing how intrigued people are with the end times. You know, I've always said there's two subjects that people will just pack the house out with. And one of them is the end times. And the other one is if I was to tell you that, hey, in May, we're going to talk about demons. We're going to talk about demonology. And I'm going to tell you all the stories I've had encounters with demons and exorcisms. And man, you need to be here. This place would be packed out, and y'all would all go home and not sleep. Y'all would have to be taking sleeping pills and stuff. Listen, the reason why I believe that is not because we're so intrigued that we can't wait for Jesus to return. And I really don't even know how to say it. I believe that a lot of people are intrigued because there's something inside of us that loves to be scared. In those kinds, there's some kind of fear that is clicked in that kind of causes people to be intrigued by it. And I'm gonna give you some other reasons today why I believe people are intrigued with end times. Now, I can remember whenever I was a little boy, I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and I remember my preacher. The preacher I had would always talk about the end times. I mean, he was always talking about it. And I remember him literally saying, it was 1980. I was like 9 years old, all right? In 1980, he was saying, listen, the signs of the times are coming together. There's absolutely no way that we're going to be here within 5 years. Jesus will come back within 5 years. I believe it. I know it. He's coming back. So every time I heard a train go by and I heard, whoo, you know, the horn, I thought the trumpet was sounding. I'm like, ah! Is anybody else scared of train horns at times? Okay, if you are, don't live in Coleman because there's plenty of them, I promise you. Listen, I really thought about it like that. I mean, that's the trumpet sound. Jesus is here. And there were times whenever I was a kid, especially between that 1980 and 1985, because I was expecting Jesus to be back before 1985, all right? I can remember during that time, anytime I would wake up and I couldn't find my mom or dad, I was waiting at any moment I was going to see a pile of clothes folded up very neatly laying in the floor and then rising up into heaven or something, you know, like, oh my gosh, I have missed Jesus, the rapture, you know, which by the way, I've never understood the folded up clothes like Jesus neatly folds them up and they all fly up naked into heaven. Listen, that's probably a little awkward for some of you. Listen, that's the way people look at it. But I mean, it's amazing the things that I've heard over the years. Now, I hope this ain't offensive to you because I just want to help you see a different perspective today. I need you to listen to me all the way through. Since I've been a little boy, I've been hearing these signs of the times. Now, when you see this, this is going to happen. When you see this, this is what's happening. When you see this, this is what's happening. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of those things have kind of come and gone. And I'm not saying that I sit down and just don't believe in any of that. I do believe there's signs of the times, but there are a lot of things that we hear that I think just intrigues us. And honestly, there's something that we kind of enjoy about it. Some of the things that I've heard since I've been a little boy, just some signs of the times that I've heard. I can remember people coming into church and saying things like, hey, when John the Revelator saw, or whenever people in the Bible prophecy times, when they saw things like Apache helicopters, basically they were seeing, I mean, when they talked about locusts, basically coming across the sky, it was actually Apache helicopters, and that's war taking place, and that's Jesus coming back, and there's different signs of the times. I hear today, and this is probably going to offend some people. I don't mean to offend people. I'm just going to tell you what I hear. I hear people saying like, man, have you heard about those microchips that are talking about putting in people's, you know, in their hands? That's the mark of the beast. Y'all, you better be careful. Now listen, you hear how quiet it is in here? Because everybody in this room has heard that and you probably believe that. Listen, if they put the microchip inside of you, they'll know everywhere you are. Can I go ahead and give you a hint? Can I go ahead and give you a clue? They already know where you are. It's called an Apple phone, all right? It's got this ping. They know where you at. So guess what? The Apple phone is the mark of the beast. And you got it. You fell for the trap. Listen. Except for all the people who got flip phones. Not me, I got a flip phone. You just old. Listen, I got a pager. 1990's coming back. Listen, it's amazing some of the things that I've heard over the year. I had some guys come in and talk about signs of the times expert. He gave a whole message on the oil fields in the Middle East. Like the oil fields represent Jesus coming back. I've heard people say that the one world currency is credit cards, and that's a sign that Jesus is coming back, and maybe it is. I've heard that TBN, the evangelistic network on television and stuff, that basically that's going to help Jesus come back because it's going to reach the world. We'll read some scripture about that in just a minute with the gospel. Anytime there's wars or earthquakes or storms or volcanoes, most everybody starts pointing to, hey, that's just signs Jesus is coming back, and I can understand why, because we're fixing to read some scripture that's got to do with it. And I do know this, that every single president since I've been alive has been the Antichrist, some way, form, or fashion. Somebody believes. So our Antichrist this year is orange. Sorry, that was mean. I shouldn't have said that. I just offended the Republicans in the House. Last year it was Obama, or before that, and then Hillary Clinton would be if she was there. Somebody, she really is. And so, listen. Some of y'all think that. Listen, if you're a Democrat, it's just a joke. I made fun of Donald Trump. I'm trying to make everybody happy and mad all at the same time. Listen, I don't bring politics into church. Listen, but it's amazing all the things that you hear on a regular basis about all these different signs of the times. And everybody gets caught up in it. And they're focusing on, in my opinion, the wrong things. We're missing the boat. You know, there's a lot of theological disagreements, and if you want to come up with if you'll let me just sound smart for just a minute, the theological term for the end times, the study of end times, is called eschatology. Eschatology is the study of end times, and there's lots of scholars that's all they study is just end times. There are three different types of three different beliefs about eschatology. The first one is called post-trib, which this is a belief that basically we'll all go through the tribulation and Jesus will come back at the end of the tribulation. There's also a study that they call the mid-trib, where basically the tribulation, by the way, if you're here and you're like, what is a tribulation? That is 7 years of the wrath of God basically being poured out on humanity. And a lot of people, I'm trying to tell you what people believe. That some people believe we'll go through it as believers. And then there's also these group that's called mid-trib that believes that in the middle, 3.5 years into the middle of the tribulation, that God will come and rapture his people. And then there's what most of us probably in this room believe, which is called the rapture. They call it pre-trib, that Jesus will come before the tribulation comes and take us all to heaven, and the wrath of God will be poured out. Now, if you ask most scholars, now some of you might disagree with this, but if you ask most scholars, they will tell you that all three of these beliefs can really be backed up in Scripture. So I'll be honest with you, I don't know what most of us believe, and I don't really know 100%, I'm going to freak some of you out, what I believe. I probably would stand on the pre-trib more than I would anything else. But you can, in my opinion, back most of these up scripture-wise. But the one thing I know for a fact, whether you're post-trib, eschatology, mid-trib, eschatology, or whether you're pre-trib, the one thing I know for a fact is that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is, the second coming is going to happen at some point. He's coming back one way or the other. So instead of being scared and fearful and intrigued, why don't we talk about a few other things? Here's what we don't know when Jesus is coming back for a fact. We have no clue. We just know he's coming back. So let's talk about some things. You know, I just gave you some signs of the times that people say all the time. And we don't know if those are fact or not. These are what man have come up with in the era of this is what the signs of the times looks like. But let's talk about some things that we know for a fact, all right? Things that we know for a fact is that one out of every 30 verses in your Bible reference the end of times and return of Christ, or slash return of Christ, some way, form, or fashion. 16 chapters in your New Testament. There's out of 16 chapters in the New Testament, there are over 300 references to the end times in those chapters. 23 out of the 27 New Testament books reference the end times some way, form, or fashion. And so the deal is that honestly, with all this information about the end times, we probably can't cover all of this in one Sunday. There's absolutely no way. So when Jesus is directly asked about the end times by the disciples, he gives some pretty clear answers, kinda. He gives some pretty clear answers. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 24, talking about the signs of the end of age, signs of the end of time. This is what he says in verse 3. He says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. See that no one leads you astray. I think the enemy has led us astray in some backwards kind of way when it comes to the end of times. It says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. In my 46 years of life, I've heard of a lot of wars, and I've heard lots of rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. The reason why when people see earthquakes, storms, and volcanoes, it comes from this verse right here. That's why they believe the end of times is near. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, which comes to what I was telling you just a minute ago about getting the gospel to the end of the earth, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That's why a lot of people believe that the nations got to be pronounced to everyone, and they think television is going to be one of those things that does that. Till the end, so the end will come. So Jesus gives us these things. And that we see in Matthew chapter 24. And to answer the question, as far as I can tell, I don't know if we're living in the last days. But I personally believe that we are. Now, let me give you a little bit different perspective. I do believe we're living in the last days. The reason why I believe that we're living in the last days is I believe that the day that Jesus rose from the grave, the last days began. When Jesus rose from the grave, the last days began. Why? Because one day in heaven is like 1,000 years elsewhere in heaven. So it's, you know, when Jesus rose from the grave, the last days begin immediately. Now, I'll be honest with you, we're not the only generation that thinks that we're living in the last days. It's amazing how many generations before us has believed that we're living in the last days, that they were living in the last days. You know, I think about Peter. Peter was 2,000 years ago. Peter was a disciple. He was an apostle. Listen to what Peter said, 1 Peter 4:7. The end of the world is coming 2,000 years from now. It's not what he says. He says the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Why? Because the end of the world is coming soon. Now, I would say the exact same thing today in the 21st century to you guys as we sit here. The same thing that Peter said, I would say to you, hey, Desperation Church, the end of the world is coming soon. Why? Because I believe we're living in the last days. Therefore, church, 21st century, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Pursue Him, chase Him, seek Him, know Him. Generations before us have believed that their year, that their time, their generation was when Jesus was going to return. And how about in 1669, people in Russia proclaimed that the end of the world would occur within the year. It was going to happen in that year, 1669. Now listen, these believers in 1669 were so scared that they burned themselves to death to protect themselves from the Antichrist. 1669, they were dead set that Jesus was going to return, and because they didn't want to be around the Antichrist, they set themselves on fire and burned themselves to death. I'll be honest with you, talking about being led astray, I think that's one way you can be led astray, by buying into stuff like that. If you really want to get down to, you know, we talked about demonology just a minute ago, I really believe that's demonic. Because the enemy wanted to do everything he can to lie to those people in 1669 for the purpose of them taking themselves out of this earth so we don't have to worry about them anymore. And they did, because they bought into a lie. That was that many more people he didn't have to try to get to move away from God being glorified. And so he did it with what looked like so-called truth, but was really a lie. They were led astray. There's a guy named Edgar C. Wisenot, predicted why the rapture would happen in 1988 and wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Would Happen in 1988. How many of you, is there anybody here that remembers that so-called book? Anybody in the house? All right. Now listen, so when apparently, I mean, we realized that it didn't take place. And so what happened was he changed the dates to 1989. 89 reasons why Jesus will return in 1989. And so we see that Jesus did not return in 1988. I was supposed to graduate in 1989, but I loved seventh grade so much, I went and did it again. And so I did 1990. And so he must have made a lot of money on those books. And so he wrote another book in 1994, said 94 reasons why Jesus will return in 1994. Edgar C. Wisenot made a lot of money. You know why? Because people are so intrigued with the end times that they buy into that kind of stuff. There's a guy named Harold Camping from California, 2011, told people left and right, supposable Bible scholar, that on a certain day that Jesus was going to return. This was 2011. This was just 7 years ago. Jesus would return in 2011. And so there were thousands of people that sold their, in 2011, sold their houses and their cars and all their belongings, everything they had, and sat on the streets on the day that Jesus was supposed to return, waiting for him to come. And we're still here today. And so are they. I think it was 2014, just a couple of years ago, I was driving down Red Mountain Expressway, and I saw this big sign on the side of the road that said, Jesus return. I think it was like May 21st, May something. Jesus will return May 21st, or whatever year it was in. Go and look at the details at this website. I'm like, that's the day that he won't return. Because he started putting billboards everywhere. They was all over the place. Does anybody remember those at all? Anybody see those? Do y'all remember that? Okay, somebody, okay. People that don't text and drive saw those billboards. So, it's every generation that thinks that they're living in the last days. Listen, when I share these things, really, my goal is not to really ridicule these people. It's to show you that these people were so sure then, just like a lot of times we're so sure today. And what happens is this, is that a lot of people live in fear. They live in uneasiness and confusion. Hey, listen, if we're really so in love with Jesus, and let's just get honest about it. If we're really so in love with Jesus, and there may be some people that are really excited. I think most of us should be really excited that Jesus is coming back. But what I've learned is that if we really get down to the nitty gritty, most people are scared slapped to death that Jesus is coming back. Something kind of backward. They get uneasy. There's lots of confusion, especially when people start forecasting and modeling to see the exact time of the Lord's return. Like, what if tomorrow, April the 23rd, what if he really is supposed to come back? What if? Should we be expectant of the return of Jesus? I would say yes, absolutely. He could come back before the service is over with. You need to be expectant of Jesus' return. And here's the big deal. The enemy, I believe, just like a lot of other biblical teachings, the enemy has come in and warped our perspectives a lot of time and caused us to miss the entire point of every bit of this. Because when he returns, A.W. Tozer says this, when he returns, it's not as important as the fact that we are ready for him when he returns. That we're ready for him. And I think the reason why a lot of people get scared is because they really wonder if they're ready. So we've gotten so caught up with the when, not the W-I-N, the W-H-E-N. We've gotten so caught up with the when. When's it coming? When's it returning? When's it coming? When's it returning? When's Jesus coming? This is what Matthew 24:36 says. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. So, when somebody like Harold Camping puts out 2011 on this date, Jesus is returning. That, listen, the reason why I say that's a day that we know for a fact that Jesus probably isn't returning because the angels don't even know. If the angels don't know, how is Harold Camping going to know? Listen, if the angels don't know, then how does Edgar Wizard not know? Is he going to speak to them before he speaks to the angels? The Son himself. And so when we get to this place of starting to say, hey, within 5 years, before 1985, Jesus will be back, I think we got to be really careful because there's only one person, it's God, it's the Father. He's the only one that knows when Jesus is going to return. So here's the big picture. If you see a billboard or a post or social media that's been shared 10 million times that says this is the day that the Lord is coming, if it's got as many billboards as Alexander Shinara up on the roads, it's probably a day you can bank on it that that's the day it ain't happening. Because nobody knows the time. The Bible says you better be ready, though, when the time comes. Let me change your perspective just a little bit. I need you to go with me. We need to get our eyes off of the when, W-H-N. This is what the Bible says in Job 14, verse 5. Here's what I want us to see today. The Bible says, let me just bless your heart. This is going to just really just bless you. It's going to encourage you. A man's days are numbered. You know the number of his months, talking about God. God, you know the number of his months or her months. He cannot live longer than the time you have set. So God knows when you're going to be born, everybody in this room. God knows when you're going to be born. He already knows what, let me bless your heart, He already knows what your tombstone is going to say. He knows the date of your birth, and He knows the date of when you leave this place, because your time has already been set. Could it be to live at a ripe old age of 90-something? Could be. Or could it be 46 like me? Could be. All of us think that we're going to live to an old ripe age of whatever, but none of us really know what tomorrow holds. Zero. None of us. I'm not trying to freak you out or scare you or you know, try to manipulate. I'm just telling you what Job says. We're coming around to something. Hang on. How about James 4:14? James is always good at just, I don't know if anybody in here just read. James is just, he's just blunt. He just tells you like it is. He's just all up in your grill, all up in your face. He don't kind of sugarcoat anything. He just lets you know how it is. This is what he says in James 4:14. Let me just bless your heart with some James. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. Well, thank you, brother. Thanks for blessing me. That's incredibly depressing. So there's great possibility there's a lot of people that's asking like, hey, Andy, are we living in the last days? Listen, I'm not sure. You know, like when I say the last days, like in our generation that we're going to hear the train trumpet blow. But one thing I'm certain of, one thing is that we're living in our last days. I don't know if we're living in the last days or when Jesus, but we're living in our last days because, listen, life is quick. It is fast. We're all living in our last days. What are we doing with the lives that we have here on earth already? We coming somewhere. David Jett, I talk about him almost every single week. He's a spiritual mentor in my life. He's one of my overseers here at Desperation. He's a pastor at Cross Gates, and dude just walks with Jesus. And some guy walked up to him after the church service one day and said, hey, Pastor David, man, we are living. Don't you believe we're living in the last days? We are living in the last days. Pastor, I think you need to preach more on the last days. And David basically said, hey, you know, I believe you're right. Man, I believe we're living in the last days. And man, with you being so passionate about us living in the last days, man, why don't you tell me about the people this week that you shared Jesus with? Man, who'd you give Jesus? Man, you got to be like on edge. Like, man, you got to be just burning the streets up, just giving Jesus away. Guy couldn't really give him an answer. See, that's a great possibility. There's people in this room like, Pastor Andy just don't preach on eschatology enough. If you know that word, by the way, you're a Bible scholar. Listen, he needs to preach on the end times more. Listen, I'm not here to freak people out. I'm preaching on the end times today, giving it a different route. Listen to me. If you're here today and you really think that we are living in the end times and Pastor Andy needs to be preaching on it more, what I would say is, and what I would ask you is the same thing that David Jett asked that guy, is how many people you led to Jesus this week? Because you should be tearing the streets up. If you really believe that, man, he could be coming any second. What I've learned is that most people are just intrigued by it, but don't really live it out. If we really believe it, do we really believe it? We should live every single day as if it were our last day. Now look, I want just confessions of a pastor. It is easy to stand up here and preach this. When I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you guys. So when I'm saying, hey, we got to, I'm saying, Andy too, I'm with you. Because I think all of us need to get a hold of this some way, form, or fashion and get it in our heart. I'm with you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. All right? We should live every day as if it's our last. Reaching people, loving people, living life on purpose. Not let things bother us like they do a lot of times in our lives. Listen, hear me. All of us have been given this gift called life. All of us have been given this gift called life. And most people end up existing through it. Very few people end up really living in it. We've all been given this gift of life, and all of us, have been blessed by this gift of life, but most people end up just existing, but very few people really live it. Live it on purpose. Live it on purpose. Live it on purpose. You know, I think a lot of us, just kind of illustration-wise, it's almost like we all carry this clock around with us, or this internal clock. You know, if I have 3 days left on this earth, our internal clock, if I have 3 days left on this earth, man, I got to get after it. Woo! Man, I gotta make up some ground, man. I got to go out there and let people know about Jesus. I got to live my life on purpose. If I got 3 days left, man, I got to get it going. But if for some reason we had a clock and we saw that we have 50 years left, man, if I have 50 years left, I have time to live my life a little bit. Just do what just hang out a little bit. Listen, a time limit causes us to do things we wouldn't normally do. And that's sad. A time limit causes us to do things we wouldn't do normally. We are so obsessed with the time that Jesus is going to come back. And people think that, well, if I have a lot of time, I still have some time to do what I want to do. That kind of thought process is just existing. You're existing. But if it's just a little bit of time, then I need to do some things for God. I need to change some things. I need to forgive some people. I need to quit holding unforgiveness. Maybe I need to start serving others. And that's when I'll choose to live. And a lot of us are really driven by how much time. I think that's one reason. I don't know this for a fact. I really can't explain it in words because there's something there I just can't articulate. But I wonder if this is one of the reasons why so many people are so intrigued with the end times. It's because they're really trying to determine how much time do I really have to live for myself before I really have to start living for Jesus. Sold out. I'm just wondering. I don't know that for. I'm just talking out loud right now to a whole lot of people. I wonder if that's why people are so enamored when people come in and give us all the signs of the times. How much longer do I really have? Listen, this is what I'm about to say isn't here to remind anybody of anything. It's not here to hurt anybody, but it's just one of those things to ask ourselves some questions. Hey, isn't it amazing how it takes a bad diagnosis to get people to actually start living their life and become the person God has called them to be a lot of times? Let me ask you a question. If a doctor told you that you had 3 days to live, would anything have to change in your life? I'll be honest with you. I think things would have to change in my life. That's one thing I want God stripped out of me, because I want every day to live like it's my last day on earth. Would anything have to change in your life? Another question, are you already living every day as if it were your last? If the doctor gave you a bad diagnosis of you got 3 days left, would you be satisfied with what you've done? Or would you try to make it all up in 3 days? Because that's when you're really living. God's not called us to exist. God's called us to live and live out abundant life. When you're really loving and you aren't getting hung up on offenses and hurts, because you realize, man, I ain't got time for that kind of stuff. You aren't playing games with God. You ain't got one foot, living selfishly and one foot straddling the fence trying to live for God. Basically, you're all in with God. Half in, half out. Don't worry. That's existing. It's all or nothing. It's amazing what a time limit will cause people to do. It's amazing what a bad diagnosis will do. You know, time limit. I think about I think about my kids when they were little. I could probably do it today too. I'd be looking at Caleb and I'd like, hey, Caleb, I'm going to count to three. And if you ain't pick that truck up right there, you ain't pick that toy up right there, I'm going to whip your tail. I can say that in the South. I might not be able to say that other places. And so I got one, and he's looking at it. How much longer have I got? Two. I'm about to say three. He goes, whoop. He just gets down there as quick as he can. He gets it. I trick him every now and then. I say, I'm going to count to three. You better pick up. Like, one, two, three. Bam. Like, woo. I just made somebody mad. Don't leave our church. We spanking this every now and then. All right, listen. But it's amazing what a time limit will do, even with kids. You know, there's a reason why I believe that God didn't really give us a time. He didn't give us a date. He didn't say, on this day, April the 23rd, 2018, this is when I'm coming back. I think there's a reason why Jesus, why God didn't give us a time. Because I personally believe that he wanted us to live this thing to the fullest, this life to the fullest, not driven by fear, not driven by a time limit, but driven by our love for Jesus and for people. He didn't give us a time. If he did, we would live for ourselves more than likely all the way up until, all righty, I got about a year left. Or I got about 3 weeks left. April 23rd, closing quick. That's actually tomorrow. Y'all better hurry. It's closing quick. Listen, God's called you to use your entire life for people, not a short time. Don't do it in a short time limit. Use your entire life. I would tell all the young people in the house today, don't be like a lot of us who are older, who could have wasted our lives when we were younger and didn't start really living our life until we got older. I would say use your entire life, especially while you're young and you're full of enthusiasm and passion and energy more than old people like me. I'm really tired. I got to take medicine to keep me up. Listen, use it for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. You could do great things for God. Use your entire life. Quit living by a clock. Quit living by time. Quit living by this internal clock that says, how much time do I have left to exist and to live for me? It's not a good thing. It's amazing how we can view the end times with a selfish mindset. We should have the mindset of, I want to do all my time on this earth, whether I leave here tomorrow or whether I live a long life to be 90-something. I want to live it my entire life for Jesus, sold out. You know, this could be offensive to some people, but I need you to hear me through. And I think you will. You know, I see and hear a lot of people in the midst of things getting worse in our culture. You know, which, by the way, I just want to, like, They're thinking that our days are worse than others, and I don't know, they may be. I didn't live in generations past, but one thing I do know when I read history, sin was sin 6,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, as much as sin is today. This world's been cursed for years upon years upon years. And so we live in a world that's just full of sin. And when bad things happen all the time, I hear people say things like, come, Lord Jesus, we just need you to come. Come, Jesus, come, Lord. You know, a couple years ago, there was 20-something people that died of overdoses in like 1 week in Jasper. And there was things and little blogs and social media and different people saying things like, oh my God, you know, this world's just going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus, we need you to return quickly. Come quickly, Jesus. Come quickly, God. You know, when all the racial stuff is, which is still happening today, but just a couple years ago when a lot of things were happening, people were like, man, we just live in this cursed world, an evil world. Come, Jesus, come quickly. You read different things, talk to different people that's always saying things all the time. Like the world's going to hell. Come on, Jesus, we need you to come. And I believe that when those people say things like that they're completely missing it. When we're saying that the world is dark, come, Lord Jesus, come. God, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. What Jesus is saying, hey, the world is dark. Quit saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And what Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, go, church, go. Go, church, go. Quit sitting around for God to come rescue you from a world that's cursed. God is telling us to go into a world that's dark and be light. Because we have the answer. Listen, there's a place where he's saying, go, church, go. Be the light. Live this life that I've called you to. Don't wait on some time limit or some sermon or billboard. Go now. Don't wait on a diagnosis. Go now. Love people because you love me. Be the church. Jesus is saying, I don't have another plan for your city. You're it. Go win your city. Invade darkness because I love the very ones you're trying to get to rescue you from. The ones that you want me to rescue you from are the ones that I love. And you're the answer to go be the church, be the light in darkness. Quit asking me to come, Lord Jesus, come, to come and rescue out of a dark world. Hey, why don't you go, church, go? Because that's my commandment I've given you. Listen. Some of y'all are like, I just don't agree with that, Pastor. Well, that's fine. I would say you're not living your life on purpose. God's got you here for a reason. And while you're here on this earth, quit living it with a clock and realize that Jesus has a passion to rescue those who are lost. And my whole deal is, and you may completely disagree with this, is like, hold on, God, hold on. We got a whole lot more work to do. There are so many people just in Coleman, Alabama that need Jesus and to discover you. And God, you've called me and so many other people to go out and rescue them. So God, let me be your vessel to go out and rescue people who don't know you so that we can protect them from going to hell and that can go to heaven and come into a relationship with you, Jesus. Amen. Listen, we got to get rid of a mindset. We got to get rid of a mindset. It's almost selfish. What if Jesus would have came before you received Jesus? What if Jesus would have came before the person, your middleman, came to you? What would have happened? You would have missed him. Listen, Jesus is screaming at the church. Instead of asking for me to come, why don't you go? We got work to do, church. We got to get busy. The last days are upon us. We have work to do. And we need to quit existing in this world. We need to live in this world and live it with purpose. Some of you say, how do I do that? Why don't you live a life honoring to God? Why don't you live a life without one foot in the world and one foot in heaven? Why don't you invite people to church? Why don't you serve other people? Why don't you get plugged in to somewhere where other believers are so that together as an army we can reach the world around us? Listen, it is not a time to exist. It is not a time to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. It is not a time to live with a weak backbone. It is a time, if ever, because of the dark world that we live in, that we invade darkness with light and we live with a backbone of steel and a tub full of guts and we live out the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's the one that rescued me from the pit, from the depths of hell, and he's called me to go out and rescue others with his spirit inside of me through the power that God's given me to go out and, Andy, go get up. Go get them. And he's saying the same thing to you. Go, church, go. Go, church, go. I kind of feel like Dora the Explorer right now. Go, church, go. Go, live a life honoring to God. You don't know when your last day is. We are living in our last days. Is it the last days? Like, I don't know, but you're living in your last days. I'm living in my last days. Man, let's honor those days. It's a gift. Where do we find purpose? We find it when we give Jesus away. Where do you find life? When we give abundant life away, Jesus. Woo! Listen, we all going, I don't need you leaving here today. Like, bless God, let's go to Cracker Barrel and get us some mashed potatoes and roast beef. And praise God, Pastor Andy, that was just a great little message, man. That was wonderful. I need somebody to be affected by this. Be affected. Be affected to where it affects others. Go, church, go. You're the church. We're the church. There ain't another church in this world I'd want to be a part of, because I know you guys. I know there's a lot of people in this room that's going after God. I say, let's go do it together. And if you're not all in, let's get all in with the rest of us, because our days are numbered. We get down to the nitty gritty, the last days. Let's go change the world together for the glory of God. Help rescue people who are searching, but we have the answer. Go, church, go. Go, church, go. Let's pray. Father, we love you.